Right, Acts chapter 9 then, Acts chapter 9, I want to read again verses 26 and 27, Acts chapter 9 verses 26 and 27, and when he, Paul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Well, as I've already said, we want to look tonight, with God's help, at the saint, at the Christian, the believer, Barnabas. Barnabas. And he's perhaps the most underrated Christian in the New Testament. He was a great person. If there was no Barnabas, humanly speaking, there'd be no Apostle Paul. And what would that mean, humanly speaking? Paul, Barnabas fitted into God's plan. He was the exact kind of person and character who brought Paul to the church. When the church didn't want Paul, when the church was afraid of Paul, the Jerusalem church sent Paul back to Tarsus. And to use our own current contemporary language, we would say the church sent Paul to Coventry. They weren't comfy with Paul's teaching. The Jews were unhappy with what he was saying, although he was speaking the truth. And they tried to get rid of him. They refused him, as it were, membership, doubting that he was a genuine believer. The great Apostle Paul, with that dramatic experience he had on Damascus Road, was not accepted by the Church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Got quite a reception at Damascus, but when he came to the main hub, the central part of the church in Palestine there, in Jerusalem, he was not accepted. Well, after all, he was what we today would call a terrorist. Wasn't he? Wasn't he a terrorist? Look at verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder. He was a terrorist. He was filled with religious hatred. We hear about that today, don't we? He's a terrorist, filled with religious hatred, converted. Church don't recognize it. But Barnabas does. Barnabas does. Jews, you know, they were born into the church, really. Born into the faith. They grew up in faith. And the whole culture was pointing to a great deliverer to come. A great Messiah. A great saviour to make Israel the big nation, the main nations, so that all other nations would come to believe in the God of Israel. Israel was going to be a foremost nation. All nations would be blessed in Abraham, the first Hebrew. Of course, there were those brought up in the faith, Jews brought up in the faith, who didn't really believe. And what made your identity as a true believer was the way we do it today, the life that you lead. The fruits that come from your life. The way you crucify the flesh. The way you put Christ first. Yourself last. Your lifestyle. The way you live. Not necessarily what you say. Certainly what you believe. But the way you live. You see, you can say what you believe and not do it. We all know that, because we're all sinners. But But do we repent? We all need to repent and acknowledge our sins. I should never have done that. I was wrong there. That's a believer. That's a believer. One who comes constantly and to whom coming. We come daily to Jesus Christ, don't we? And say, Lord, I've done wrong again. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Help me live a life. Help me shine for Jesus. When the Jerusalem church ultimately received Paul, he still weren't very comfy with him. He was making changes according to the revelation that God had given to him. But they still tried to kill him. Chapter 9, verse 29, he read it there. He didn't really want Paul. He was a threat to their comfort zone. He challenged them. They have to change in some ways. Don't change the fundamental gospel, but the administration of it maybe, or some other things. So they sent him off to Tarsus. And in the middle of this drama, we read, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So let's look at this man, Barnabas, this wonderful man who, for whom we have to thank in a real way for the Apostle Paul. Now, Barnabas, the name means son of encouragement. He was an encourager. The church needs those who will encourage them, not put them down, not disappoint them, not put up all the problems, but put up the blessings, the encouragement. You know, the gospel's good news, not bad news, good news. Son of encouragement. Now, it's very likely he wrote the book of Barnabas. That's a book that was very helpful to the early apostles, to the early church, rather, who needed documents before the New Testament was written. They had other writings and they were very good. They weren't infallible, as the Holy Scriptures are. And Barnabas had the book of Barnabas, and it's very much likely him. And he may have written the book of Hebrews. As you know, the titles and the name of the books of the Bible are not inspired. They were added by the church. And there are many things that are changed. For instance, the Song of Solomon, if you read old commentaries, it was called the Canticles. And they changed it to the Song of Solomon. And we read about the book of Revelation. It tells us there on the label that the church, that the people put on there, was the revelation of St. John. But the first verse of chapter 1 of Revelation says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can't even get labels right. So, Barnabas may have written the book of Hebrews, but he may not have. May have been the Apostle Paul. Paul normally puts his name on, of course, but he didn't there. He didn't sign it off in any way, as he usually did. But nevertheless, he could have written. It doesn't matter who wrote it. It was inspired, and it was part of God's word. Barnabas, his first name was Joseph. The apostles gave him the surname of Barnabas. He was a Levite. So he really was brought up in the church, wasn't he? You had no choice what your occupation was if you were a Levite of the tribe of Levi. You're in the church. You had a lot of tasks to do. You see, in these days, the church of God, the building where God came and visited these people, was a tabernacle, a tent. And it travelled about, and there were those who had the responsibility of carrying it, of sorting it all out, arranging it the way. And there were maybe thousands, but hundreds of rules about the pots and the pans and the plates and the spoons, and all this had to be in different orders, all depicting the perfection of Jesus Christ. And they had work to do in connection with that. There'd be those who didn't do it perhaps very well, very enthusiastically. And there'll be others who did believe and who prayerfully laid out the spoons or whatever because they loved the Lord and they longed for the real Messiah to come and to save them. Barnabas was a Levite. He was involved in the work of the church. He was a helper in the church. Now, he was an early convert. Probably maybe converted under Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2. One of the 3,000 who were converted. 3,000 were converted on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. And maybe Barnabas was one of them. Anyway, he was an early convert and he came to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Now the symbols of everything could be put away because the reality of which the symbol symbolized had come. He was genuine. He was one of those who were committed to Jesus Christ, to doing what God had said, humbly, graciously, lovingly, cheerfully, monotonous though it may have been. But again, he did something that was marvellous, absolutely marvellous. In his very early days, he had shown and nailed his colours to the mask in one wonderful event that he did. He sold his property and brought the money he got from it, the proceeds from it, and came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And said, it's Christ's. That's for Christ's cause. You use it. Sold his property in Cyprus. He was from Cyprus. And he loved Cyprus. Can you see yourself leaving your property to Christ when you could have used it yourself? People do it when they die. He was very much alive. Isn't that wonderful? Church needs these kind of people today. You see these early apostles, these people who started it all off and who gave their lives for it, they really did believe God provided all their needs. They really did believe God provided all their needs. I can get rid of that. I can live without that. The cause of Christ needs that. Barnabas, great man. Very fond of his own native Cyprus. Just as we all do, we all love the place we come from, we all would go back to it. People from Lewis, from Harris, from Sutherland, from Lurg, from Inverness, from Glasgow. We go back in retirement because we've got a link there, we're nostalgic, and we've got memories there. And so Barnabas was someone who loved Cyprus. The church sent Barnabas to Cyprus. Maybe he offered. He certainly would have the contacts, and he could say to them, he could say to the apostles, well, I know some high important people in Cyprus, and we get in a place to preach the gospel. And he was sent out. I think chapter 13 it says, yeah, chapter 13 he was sent out. Oh, well, yeah, I think it was 13. Now, he's called an apostle. Chapter 14, verse 14. Barnabas called an apostle, but he wasn't really an apostle in the technical sense of being one of the 12 and having seen the Lord. In the New Testament, the word apostle is often used for missionaries sent out authoritatively by the church. The church had authority from Christ to send out workers. And that they were, the word apostolos, from which apostle comes, is the word for sending out. The church sends out people to do the work they need to do. There's that organization of the church who sends out, as we read throughout the book of Acts. Its original Greek word also includes the word, the meaning of representative or messenger. And it's referred to a lot of people who are otherwise called brothers and fellow soldiers and fellow workers and partners. Now then, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Luke, Dr. Luke, he was the doctor in the medicine of medicine, and he wrote the book of Acts, and he knows much more than any of us know, and about Barnabas, and he gives us, under divine inspiration, his judgment about this man that we're looking at, Barnabas. And he said he was a good man. This is a good man. He's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Chapter 11, verse 24. Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So let's look at some of the characteristics of his life. When Paul first presented himself to the church at Jerusalem, the issue of trust came up. The issue of trust. Can we trust this person? Look at his history. He's just converted a fortnight. Is it going to last? Can we really trust this person? And the answer was no, really. Don't think so. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to the apostles, this man has seen the Lord since he went to heaven. Since the Lord went to heaven, he has actually seen the Lord. He's got this qualification of one of the 12 apostles. Saw the Lord in reality. And he declared, Barnabas declared the apostles. I'm telling you, he saw him. Now, I don't know, was Barnabas there on that number who went with Paul? I don't know. No, he wouldn't have been with him. No, of course he wouldn't. But he said that he saw the Lord, and he spoke. The Lord spoke to him. And he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Three particular characteristics of Barnabas. He had spiritual discernment. He had spiritual discernment. He could recognize a true disciple of Christ through the fog of traditional Jewish religion and worship. You see, they all had jobs and work to do. They had traditions. If you think the church has traditions today, go back to look at Judaism. God's command, God's written command in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, the different rules and regulations, and they had loads of traditional habits and practices. But this man, Barnabas, could detect whether a man was doing the job for Christ or not, whether he was really serving God or not. He saw beyond what Paul himself would have said about himself to what was in Paul's heart. What Paul was actually and truly. Barnabas could read people. It wasn't being judgmental. He had this spirit of recognition. A believer who comes to Christ can recognize another believer. He had the spirit of Paul beyond the, he could see, he knew Paul beyond the outward form of Paul. He could look, he saw the work of God in the soul of Paul. He recognized telltale signs in normal parlance, in normal conversations, in normal ways of living and working. He could see a man's a believer. He's cautious, he's careful, he's beautiful, he's lovely. He's careful about miscalling someone's character. And so on and so forth. Jesus told Nicodemus that when a person comes to the light, that's the way Jesus described the conversion in a way, he comes to the light, comes to Christ. When a believer comes to the light, then it's clearly seen that his works, his life, his lifestyle have been carried out by God. That it's God that makes him live that way. It's God that makes him different from the world. Barnabas could discriminate between a true child of God and a legalistic Pharisee. He could spot it a mile off. Because Barnabas feared God and loved God and lived close to God. Secondly, Paul had compassion. Sorry, Barnabas had compassion. Barnabas had compassion. Great, important characteristic. There are those who are godly and who know doctrine and theology back to front, can repeat the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Shorter Catechism, but they've got every passion about it, except compassion. A man of God has compassion. What made Jesus weep over Jerusalem? When he saw crowds, when you see crowds at a football match, a stadium or wherever, walking the streets of London or whatever, Jesus' heart is full of compassion and he weeps for them. They were a sheep without a shepherd. What about you? What about me? Seeing masses of people, do we weep? Barnabas had compassion. He was an encourager. He was not suspicious of those who presented themselves first of all to the church. You see, when he went to Antioch, not Jerusalem, but to Antioch, there were Greeks and all kinds of other people coming, and he had real compassion for them. He wasn't suspicious of them. He erred on the side of charity. If he was going to make a mistake about a person, is he a good man or a bad man? Well, if we're going to err, let's err on the side of charity. Let's hope the best. He was an encourager because he had compassion. Encouragement is a ministry. Encouraging people is a ministry. It's a gift. You can see that from Romans 12 and Corinthians 12. To encourage people, it's a ministry. Some have it and some don't. And the work of the church is to foster and train the spiritual gifts that the congregation have and to bring out. That's the work of the church. As they go out into the community during the week, you come to worship God on the first day of the week to be built up and strengthened in your faith. And each person, each Christian should be built up in his particular aspect of his faith and in the weakness that we have to be strengthened so that when he goes out and when the church goes out, when the people go out, they are in all the different places testifying to the wonderful works of the Lord and bringing people to live the right way. Let us use the gift, said Paul to the Romans and to the Corinthians. Let us use the gift in proportion to the faith that we have. Encourage the faint-hearted. Support the weak. It's a command to God's people. Support the weak. Encourage the faint-hearted. Encourage people. That was Barnabas. And thirdly, Barnabas had a holy boldness. A holy boldness. He had courage of his convictions. He had the courage of his convictions. The church then had wimps. Those who did believe the right things, but they couldn't stand up for it. Under pressure, they wouldn't admit what they believed was right and true. Paul saw that there were conventions in the church, and he made changes, and he preached changes. He preached boldly in Damascus. He preached boldly in Jerusalem. And he saw that some of the conventions were now, because of Christ coming, inhibited the free understanding of the gospel. It wasn't a legalist thing. It wasn't because we did certain things in a certain way, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved and seen as the true people of God. And that Paul disturbed the comfort zone of many people. But Barnabas stood up for him when he was unpopular. He stood up for him and he took him. Barnabas didn't want to see such a talented person as the great Apostle Paul wasted because of the misjudgment of brethren who did not know the scriptures enough. Thanks to Barnabas that the church accepted Paul ultimately. There's a mini revival at the church of Antioch. There was a mini revival in the church at Antioch because Barnabas went there. Barnabas had a great influence upon them. Ever since the Jerusalem church deported Paul to Tarsus to send him off, the Jerusalem church did not fulfill the command to go out into the world. Jesus told them to begin at Jerusalem and then Samaria and then the surrounding area and to the ends of the earth. They stopped at Jerusalem. They didn't go out the way that the Antioch church did. And the centre of Christendom at that time really changed from Jerusalem to Antioch, because Antioch was a sending church. It was evangelistic. It spread the gospel and spread the word. There was a mini revival there. A great number believed and turned to the Lord in Antioch, chapter 11. I'm going through the whole book here. I'm not locating myself particularly to chapter 9. And it was at Antioch, where Barnabas was, that the Christians were first, that the believers were first called Christians. What a compliment. You lived so much like Jesus Christ. We're going to call you Christians, Christ people, Christians. That's wonderful. I believe Barnabas was in the middle of that. He contributed greatly to this Christ-likeness in the church of Antioch, this compassion for sinners who are lost and who are ruined. The church is not just a holy huddle. The church is not like the Roman Catholics would hold, and you separate yourself from the world and you have the holy cloister and you just keep to yourselves, you're not contaminated with... No. You go out into the world with the gospel, with Christ in your heart. We read that the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and when they heard that there was a revival in Antioch, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. You fit in Antioch. You go to Antioch. We'll put you up there. They fit in far more with your evangelistic zeal. And when Barnabas came to Antioch, he saw the grace of God, this perception of spiritual discernment. He saw that the people, although they were Greeks and they didn't know anything about the temple or the Levitical rules and regulations, he saw he had Christ. They believed in the grace of God, the free grace of God, and that he was glad. And he exhorted them to remain faithful. Barnabas had this discernment. The attitude and the openness to opportunities at Antioch was so different from that at Jerusalem. And Antioch became the hub and centre of the evangelical Christian world for a while there. Now, Barnabas, who was a very humble person, we read that when Paul and Barnabas, they were together, of course, that first of all, you see, it's Barnabas that got Paul, and he was the leader of Paul, and Barnabas is named first. Barnabas and Paul. Paul's the assistant, as it were. Barnabas and Paul. But after a while, God began to work. God's Spirit came upon Paul and saw him. It reversed, it changed. Paul became the leader. As we read in chapter 14 about the Laconians, they called Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. He was the chief. And so from there on, we read about Paul and Barnabas, the assistant. Paul and Barnabas, the assistant. Paul and Barnabas, reversed. The roles were reversed. And Barnabas didn't mind. He didn't go in the half. That he is playing second fiddle to Paul now, when originally he led Paul to the church. He had humility. He had grace. He wasn't in the job to advertise himself. He was promoting Jesus Christ. Humility. Well then, let's finish now. Barnabas, good man, great man. He wasn't perfect. He was not perfect. He had flaws. Let's look at two of them. To encourage us, in case you think he was great and you have no chance of being like him because you've got flaws. So had Barnabas. So had every believer. It's only Jesus Christ that's perfect. There's no one no one comes near Jesus Christ in grace and perfection. And Barnabas didn't. Flaw one, he was easily led astray by his heroes. By his heroes. We all, even ministers, have their heroes, their authors, their preachers, and they're inclined to go with them without examining everything. They'll hear something, they'll read something. That's great, that's wonderful, and we believe it and accept it without checking, is it right? And we have here Barnabas. Who is one of his heroes? I know it was Paul. But it's also Peter. Peter was one of his heroes. Peter was a charismatic leader. He influenced people. He had charisma. When he came into the company, you knew it. He was that sort of personality. And Peter, of course, had flaws too. We know that. But one day Peter was eaten with the Gentiles. That's one of the rules that the Levites had taught the Jews you're not to do. Jews are not to eat with Gentiles. You eat in a separate table. You don't mingle with the world. Well, one day they had a big feast in Jerusalem or wherever. No, it wasn't Jerusalem at all. But they was eating with the Gentiles. And Peter was eating the Gentiles. That's okay now. In fact, it was Peter himself who introduced this new rule. He saw the vision in chapter 10 of Acts, where eating with Gentiles was now okay. Kosher food was now destroyed. We can eat pigs, we can eat anything. We read in Galatians chapter 2, that they were eating with the Gentiles. But when they came in, when the men from James, now he was the moderator of the Jerusalem assembly, James, when the apostle James came into the assembly, wherever they were, they came in, Peter got frightened. Oh, they're hardliners there. They won't like us eating with the Jews, even though it was a law change. And he separated himself and went and ate with Jews. Separated himself from the Gentiles. Before certain men came from James, from Jerusalem, Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Those hardliner people who said, you shouldn't do it, you've got to keep the law of Moses, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to keep all the Levitical laws, and so on. And the rest of the Jews, we read in Galatians chapter 2, the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with Peter, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Peter's done it. I better do it. You know the spirit? We all fail here too, don't we? Flaw number one. Led astray by our heroes. Second flaw was family favouritism. Family favouritism affected his judgment. There was a man called John Mark who went with Paul and Barnabas on a mission. A man called John Mark. So there was John Mark, Paul and Barnabas. And they were on this mission. And all of a sudden, John Mark left them. We don't know why, but he left the party. Maybe he was just making a coffee, making the meals, the chef or whatever. I don't know what he was doing, but he was on the mission. But he left them for whatever reason. We're not told. And they were obviously upset about it. But that was then. Now, sometime later, on a new missionary journey, which Paul suggested to make, Paul did not think that John Mark was a suitable person to take with him. But Barnabas said, we should take John Mark. He was his cousin. He was his first cousin. John Mark was the first cousin of Barnabas. And he felt he should take him. And there was such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. And we don't hear any more of Barnabas. We hear a lot of Paul, but we don't hear any more of Barnabas. But we know that he took Mark and he went on a separate missionary journey. Isn't it wonderful how God can help a disaster that we bring on ourselves? Instead of one missionary journey, there's going to be two now. There's Paul and Silas. Paul took Silas and went to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed for where? Yes, you got it. Cyprus. Went back to their homeland, to their country, to their own folk. Blood thicker than water. Family pride. Favoritism toward our own. Yet again, we all do it, don't we? God forgives us. God treats us as if we're perfect because we're in the covenant. We're washed in the blood of his son. So let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. Despite weaknesses and flaws, we can be serving the Lord. In chapter 11, we read about the church that was in Antioch, this sending church, this new hub of sent Christian evangelicalism. There were four ethnic groups, four different ethnic groups there. Church is a mixture of all kinds now. So you and I should be encouraged. What's happening in the UK just now? What's happening? All this migration, immigration. The fact that Muslims and Sikhs and Buddhists and Asians are coming. What's a challenge for us? To spread the gospel, to get to know them. To get to know them. And with all our villages and cities changing, it's a great opportunity for us to make known. We believe this. And this is the ground and reason why we believe it. And of course, it all depends. Are we serious about our faith? Are you? Am I serious about our ministry, about our faith? For many Christians today, they're not serious enough to take their callings the way they should. We have to use our gifts for the Lord and be like Barnabas. Well, may God bless these words. We'll read these two verses in conclusion. And when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of the Lord. Oh, may God bless his word. Let's pray. Thank you.